The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
In Mind Your Business, we check out the SME sector here in Singapore. After all, it powers half our economy and hires about 70% of our people, anything affecting business as well. Now, cognitive search is a new generation of search engine functionality that employs AI and machine learning. We're talking to Vivek Sriram, Chief Marketing Officer at Lucidworks, the leader in AI-powered search and discovery, as he talks us through what this can mean for you, the consumer, or you, the business. Vivek, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So when we have this term search, we often think about, obviously, Google. And then there's AI taking away our jobs, or people thinking of how it can help solve issues that humans can't.
That's right.
So we're putting these two together. What's cognitive search and why does it matter? Tell us.
So obviously you know about Google quite well, as do 3 billion or so of our fellow human beings. Google has merged search and AI together for as long as it's been around. The reason that we find what we do is because Google has managed to figure out how to make AI readily accessible to all of us. That technology is not so easy for most other businesses to master. They're either really good at understanding the text that makes up documents, or they're maybe good at AI. But putting both of those two things together is really, really difficult. I'll give you an example. You have in Singapore, Zalora, which is one of your popular e-commerce stores. If you go to Zalora and look for a black T-shirt, for instance, they might have hundreds or thousands of different items that match that description. What should come up in front of Howie when she's looking for it? So that's a cognitive
search. Shouldn't I put in more search parameters,
you
not
could.
Just black T-shirt?
Maybe. You typically want the result to happen in the first one or two. You're not going to click past the first one or two results.
True.
So how we can get to, even if you're clever about it and you can put in more parameters, perhaps you'll get the right answer.
Yeah.
Maybe other people will, maybe other people won't. So for the merchant to provide the best possible capability, they have to understand both what the content and the context of all these things mean and what the intent of the user is. And the intent, understanding the intent of a user, really happens out of AI. And cognitive search matches both of these two things: mastery over the catalog, mastery over intent.
How on earth might that happen? In my layman thinking, the computer or the search engine or the e-commerce site, as the case may be, can't know that I'm looking for a ruffled black T-shirt if I don't type it in.
That's right. But you have the benefit of other people who've also gone out and searched things for other black T-shirts or ruffled black T-shirts or very many other things. And what the search algorithms themselves do is to look at the patterns across all the different searches over all of history and to figure out that people who've searched for ruffled black dresses eventually ended up in maybe a non-ruffled black T-shirt. And people who look for a black T-shirt tend to look at most popular ones or least popular ones or look for other kinds of things. So it's really by analyzing the wisdom of crowds and taking into account all the clicks, all the purchase history, and analyzing that over all of history. AI really is just a prediction at the end of the day, right? It's just a mathematical way to understand what people have done and give them probabilities of what they might want to do. So computers
quickly
are quite quickly.
Is the key. Yeah.
Quickly is absolutely the key.
Yeah.
We call that intent, right? Which is how a machine potentially understands what a human being might want.
How lazy are we going to be
Incredibly.
To want it? Okay, so this is coming to the fore, is it? You're seeing here in Asia, Asia Pacific and Singapore, or just worldwide, people are hankering for this.
I think, you know, we have a joke in Silicon Valley that most modern new technologies are really about doing all the things that your mother wants to tell you to do for yourself. Pick up your washing, you know, go take your dry cleaning out, all these things. So in one sense, we take some of the best and brightest minds in the world and put them to work on designing some pretty dumb applications. But on the other side, freeing up human beings from doing some really boring things might free up an inordinate amount of their creativity.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd mentioned a point earlier, which is very interesting about AI automating a lot of things. That is certainly happening. But automation can be a bad thing. It could also be a really powerful freeing thing. Automation can free up people to be very innovative and creative. And that's the positive side of it, in which, you know, we in Silicon Valley hope that that's kind of the way that it happens.
So we're not caught up in the menial, repetitive tasks
That's right.
anymore.
That's
so we
right.
can be working at a high level, so to speak.
That's right.
All right. What about opportunities that local businesses can leverage to enhance search functionality? You said earlier it's challenging for the non-Googles of the world to be doing this.
That's right. So Lucidworks, the company that I work for, tries to make cognitive search happen in a system that anybody can use. These are very hard computer science problems. If you've heard about things like natural language processing or computer vision or deep learning, all of these are technologies which have come out of R&D from search from some of the best institutions in the world, NUS in Singapore or MIT in the United States. And what we're seeing now, particularly in the Valley, but also some other companies around the world, is in implementing these technologies so that it's available for other businesses to be able to use without having to hire an army of computer scientists. So the market for cognitive search around the world is probably $30 billion, perhaps a bit more. If we think about what that is in Asia, it's maybe $8, $10 billion. So it's quite large. And, you know, one of the ways in which we think about search itself at Lucidworks is that I call it the perfect UI. Anybody can use it. It doesn't require an instruction manual, but it hides an incredible amount of complexity. So just the simple thing you go to in Google and you search for a couple of words and somehow by magic it tells you the thing that you want. So cognitive search and the kinds of technologies that Lucidworks provides is in bringing that kind of ability to any business, whether it's a telco or a bank or a vendor of black t-shirts.
How accessible, though, is Lucidworks to the regular Joe business?
Well, we target our product for big businesses. So there is a threshold below which it may not make sense. So if you only have a catalog of 500 items and...
Well, so you really need it, right?
Yeah. You don't really need it. I mean, you know, your browsers can probably look at it quite easily on their own. But if you have a catalog of thousands of items or millions of items and you have hundreds of stores, then technologies like ours are quite powerful and they could be quite dramatically changing.
How quickly can, though, Lucidworks integrate into these big businesses' systems?
That's a great question. So we have about 400, 450 customers worldwide. They tend to be overrepresented in the Global 2000. Our average turnaround time from when a project starts to when they're live in a very large implementation can be 6 weeks, 3 months. So it's going to be quite quick.
Not too bad, yeah.
No, it's not too bad.
Downtime at all?
We pride ourselves in being very highly available. We power some of the biggest e-commerce stores in the world. So these are situations where we're dealing with massive numbers of traffic and very bursty traffic. So times like during Christmas where you might have tens of thousands of simultaneous queries with large amounts of traffic. So we can do those kinds of things with very high uptime, 99.99% uptime or more.
How does it work, though? Is it sort of a premium service that a large e-commerce, say, for example, site might extend to its customers?
They extend the service to their customers as a benefit for them buying things from them.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example from one of our real life customers. It's Lenovo, right? It's one of the largest computer manufacturers in the world. So Lenovo obviously is heavily incentivized for letting their customers quickly find anything that they're looking for. So it's not a premium service as such.
Yeah.
It's just a service that helps them be closer to their customers.
So no chance of, say, costs fobbed off to the consumers.
That's right. That's right. There's no chance of that at all. In fact, the service provider himself or herself is highly motivated to make this thing available to customers because customers will buy more and they'll spend more time. So they don't want to charge extra for this kind of a service. They want the customers to use it quite a bit.
So Vivek, what's next up for Lucidworks? I mean, 450 massive companies, I'm sure, that you're working with already. The end goal is world domination.
Our goal is to help our customers really understand their customers' intent so that they can influence and optimize every part of the customer lifecycle across the touch points, whether it's customers looking for things as very early part of their buying process, whether they're making transactions, or even after they purchase things for service and support and loyalty purposes.
Yeah.
We think that in the future, though, it's just, you know, we still think about search largely as a box where you go in and type a couple of keywords, but that could change quite a bit. You know, my kids, for instance, talk to devices all the time, right? They have more conversations with Alexa than they do with me. So I think that's more likely to happen in the future, unfortunately for parents, but the interaction is largely search.
How far can this go? Like tracking your eyeballs and seeing where you're looking at.
There is a creepy element. We hope that it doesn't go that far. Our optimistic belief is that this technology can be quite assistive and helpful to people. So imagine, for instance, you know, if you're disabled, physically disabled in certain ways, then actually talking to a system and getting information back is quite helpful. So the technologies themselves can be very assistive and help people. There is obviously any chance for misuse as well.
Mm.
But, you know, we believe that especially big companies, but anybody who's motivated in providing their customers good service has incentive not to misuse things and to be in service of them as opposed to taking advantage of them.
Yeah, let's stay in the positive of That's right. Yeah, Vivek Shriram is Chief Marketing Officer at LucidWorks. You can check them out, LucidWorks.com. We've been talking about cognitive search. Vivek, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have me. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.